What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 22nd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. You can watch this live on YouTube, on PitcherList, on playback.tv/pitcherlist in the mornings when I do them. And if you watch live today, you'll see that I was live way earlier than I realized that it was, which is pretty awesome. But what is awesome is Max Meyer. Oh my gosh, Masterpiece Theater. As he went 6 innings, 0 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 14 strikeouts? Yes, 14 strikeouts and 18 outs for Max Meyer in 92 pitches. He went 24 whiffs with a 49% CSW. I don't think I've ever seen a 50% CSW guy. There have been a lot that have hinted over the years. We had a 48% earlier this year. I believe it was from either, I think it was Max Fried who might have done it. But maybe it was, I can't remember who it was, but this was 49. This is the top of the year. Oh my gosh. How did he do this? Well, his slider and his four seamer. Yes, they were up 2 to 3 ticks from last year. So we got 90, 91 on the slider, 95 on the fastballs. Love to see that. But boy, that slider, 16 for 40 whiffs on it. His changeup at a 53% CSW as he threw this against lefties. With 84% strikes, 39% usage to left-handed batters. The fastballs had over 80% strikes on their own. This is what happened here. The slider was just thrown a ton, about 40% usage, if not 45%. Obviously effective. The fastballs and the changeup were just in the zone constantly. The sweeper came in and earned strikes. I mean, he was just in the zone, but they didn't know what was going to be there, and they kept missing on the slider because the slider's filthy. I mean, it's that easy. Just throw tons of strikes and have a filthy slider and you're great. I have also a really good changeup that is added this year. I don't know if this is always going to be what we see from Max Meyer. Obviously not the 14 strikeouts. I mean, also against the Reds here, it's kind of easier to deal with them. But what's wonderful about this is that Max Meyer is in a groove. He has the command that we saw at times last year that we felt really good about, but it was, hey, you only have a slider, nothing else. Now he has a supporting cast. That changeup is a much different pitch from last year. That fastball's harder. The slider's even better. The sweeper's helping too. This is the Max Meyer I was hoping to see. He's not always going to have this lovely matchup of facing the Reds outside of Cincy. But yeah, you get it now. You get it. And that one downturn he had of 94 and that 88 mile per hour slider that was akin to last year, that's two starts removed from that now. He's back. And it's wonderful. Oh, gosh, it's so good. Hunter Brown also, by the way, he has the higher velocity. And fine, you got it. You're going to be moved up until to like 25 or something next week. Higher, all right? Because, yeah, you're throwing 97, 98. And you've done it for a bit now. And I didn't really think it would be there. And throwing 97, 98 with 19 agents of vert on the four-seamer, I get it. That's your hero pitch. No, I don't like that you don't have many secondaries or you don't have very excellent ones, but you have enough variety. The sinker's working well too. Fine, I get it. I get it. I still feel weird that there isn't a really good secondary. I also don't truly buy that he's going to be 97, 98 all year, but I get it. I have to do this. I have to do it. You're killing it. Tyler McGill is also killing it. Oh my gosh. 5.1 innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, 4 walks. Okay, so far not that great. But 10 strikeouts, oh my gosh, against the Phillies. You want to know what was so weird about this? To go 4 walks and 10 Ks, you have to think about that for a second. Because that means you don't have many balls in play. Just one hit, right? You have 10 strikeouts and 5.1 innings. That is 10 in 16 outs, or strikeouts. You have 4 walks in there too. My gosh, that is so few balls in play total. And it's because the Phillies were either chasing out of the zone or just letting these called strikes happen in the zone. And then if it was a strike, and if they did swing, they often whiffed. It was weird. Once again, every start with Tyler McGill is always a little weirder. The sinker and the slider only had 50% strikes. Actually, I take that back. It was like 46 and 47% strikes. So the four-seamer was in the zone a lot, and they kind of just let it go. It was like 15 called strikes or something like that. It was something wild. I guess they were just trying to be passive as much as possible against McGill. And honestly, it kind of worked. I mean, 92 pitches to not get through 6 with 4 walks is there, but you have to make contact at some point, you know? And I will say also, McGill was so efficient in 2 strike counts. The put away rate is super high. And that is something you should be aware of in these big 10 strikeout games, right? Especially for a guy with 4 walks. you need to be really efficient in those two strike counts. And obviously Tyler McGill was in this one. So keep that in mind, that this should not be the kind of line you expect when McGill isn't throwing as many strikes. That said, of course, he's doing something clearly effective. He's throwing generally middle high with the four seamer. Slider was down. It wasn't as good as slider that we've seen from Tyler McGill. But yeah, we just keep going. It was a weird game. Weird one. Also, Walker Buehler, I know you guys are going to be so upset. I always do the list on Mondays, and I'm always so curious who are the ones you're going to be most upset about. We're actually going to talk about one of them later. But Walker Buehler, I think a lot of people wanted me to throw him higher up than I did. Seven innings, one earned run, four hits, three walks, and nine strikeouts. I had this game before I did the list. It was the 11 o'clock game that ruins all of us. It messed me up in Town Wars. Yay, thank you so much. I totally forgot to change the lineup in time. Anyway, Buehler went against the White Sox, though, and he got the win. And yes, this was a better game. The sweeper command was much better. I can make out his game plan finally of, like, you're trying to go cutters away a little bit more. You're trying to get that curveball and changeup down. I get it. That's what you should be doing. But the fastball is still just weird. It's 93-94, which isn't inherently bad, but it is for Walker Buehler. But he does have a very low attack angle. It is it's good in that it's 1.5, 1.6 height adjusted VAA. That means if Walker Buehler actually goes high four seamers with like a 60% high lock, high Luis L. Ortiz, you can do that. You can actually have success with it. He just doesn't. He doesn't really do that effectively. And it drives me up the wall. If he can actually have this Blake Snell blueprint going, Walker Buehler works super well. The best thing really in this one I liked was sweepers down and away to right-handers. I think he's got that one down, and that's cool. So I'm fine with Walker Buehler right now. I don't think he's going to be a nine strikeout guy. I don't think he's going to be a strikeout inning guy unless that sweeper sticks around as it does, that the four-seamer actually goes upstairs. He gets the Guardians next. I think we're going for it, and we're hoping that he just keeps progressing forward. Spencer Schwalenbach against the Cardinals. He's not aces going to ace yet. We want it. In seven innings of 200 runs, eight hits, zero walks, five Ks. I don't think we're going to really see it until we get the slider getting whiffs again. Look, he has the 96-97 on the fastball, and the fastball is a much better pitch than it was last year. But the other stuff is not getting the whiff totals that we've seen in the past. The slider really was that hero pitch from last year. It's not been that. The cutter is not really dominating lefties as much as we've seen. He's turning more to splitters, which are fine, but not really the consistent pitch, right? Curveball is there too. It's all great. Don't get me wrong. It's 7 feet of extension. He's throwing hard. He has these whiff pitches. Like, it should be amazing, but only nine whiffs here in 92 pitches. It should just be a little bit better. We know it can be. It will. Don't worry. Over time, we're going to talk about more like Gavin Williams doing something new. And the guy that I was talking about that everyone's upset about, and I'm going to explain myself about Robbie Ray after this break. Eric Fetty showed up, by the way, against Atlanta. Six innings, 200 runs, five hits, three walks, and three Ks. That's a streaming victory. He is trying to be the Spider-Man. That is the best Toby of the year. He's doing it. He goes into Cincy next. I think that's a questionable start stream again, if you want to do that. Gavin Williams, though, went against the Yankees. And we were all terrified. Gavin Williams was looking terrible in his last one. I was like, you got to do something to fix this, Gavin. Something. Because the slider and the curve are just not consistent. Well, they were consistent here. 6.1 innings of 200 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 8 Ks. He was able to earn at least 65% strikes on his curveball, four-seamer, and slider. That's huge. All right, that is a big, big, big deal. Now, the slider is really a sweeper now, and I think that was the one that was like 65%, while the fastball and the curveball were 70% plus. It could be the curve that was 65, sweeper 70%. I can't remember exactly. Point of the matter, though, was that this was a much more complete Gavin Williams. And the thing I've been banging the table on is that he needs that bridge pitch to get strikes. Well, if you throw your secondaries of sweepers and curveballs above 65% strikes, you don't, because this is obviously good enough, right? The thing is that you're not always there. And guess what? We actually saw the cutter. Finally, the first game of the year. And it's the one where he didn't need it. So that's why I only threw five of them, right? But I'm happy. I saw them, 92, 93. That's great. I love this. Just, you gotta make sure that, it's there when you don't have the slider and the curveball going for strikes. And this was against the Yankees. The only two in runs he allowed were in the seventh inning, where when he threw a 1-2 curveball down, it was right at the bottom of the zone. Maybe it could have been a little bit lower to Jason Dominguez, who just dropped the barrel and got it, right? Fine. Like, that's actually a pretty good curveball. And, you know, you tip your cap to him, careful Icarus and all. He went six shutout before then. Yeah, Gavin Williams was killing it. So, I mean, we're obviously in at the moment. Thing is, this could be a Dennis, something that shows up and doesn't stick around, like Dennis from 30 Rock. He shows up for an episode and then doesn't stick around after that. So I don't know if it's, you know, it doesn't mean that Gavin is now soaring. It just means that you've done a good thing. Can you keep that? Probably not with a 65% strike rate in two of his pitches. The question now is the cutter going to actually be there when it doesn't? Okay, I'm going to save the Robbie Ray one for last because I'm going to have a long ramble. Fine, I'm not. Five innings, 200 runs, five hits, three walks, and four Ks for Robbie Ray against the Brewers. Okay, this is something. So, I mean, a lot of questions, Nick. Why do you think the walk rate's going to come down? I saw a big ramble on this. I just don't understand. I'm trying to give you that information. I'm sorry, I don't have all the energy to answer all the questions everywhere on the internet. These are my office hours, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every single weekday morning. Also, just listen to this podcast, okay? You're listening to it now, so who cares? You got it. Here's your answer. Robbie Ray should have a lower walk rate. Why? Because he throws too many fastballs right now. And the Robbie Ray of old, if you want to talk about the career walk per nine, that is a different man pre-COVID, post-COVID, okay? 2021, 22, 23, we saw this guy in Toronto who fixed himself and went to Seattle, was the same guy, then got Tommy John, right? Came back even last year, had one like bad walk game and was really good otherwise. In the spring, we saw him lower the walks and it was not there. All of a sudden this year, it is. Why? He's throwing too many fastballs. Like this game, the first 40 pitches, Justin Paredes and I were talking about it. He threw like three non-four-seamers. Like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And I know the four-seamer is still actually a very good pitch. This wasn't a terrible outing. Five innings, 200 runs. Five hits, three walks, four Ks. It's like, where are the strikeouts? Where are the walks? Fine. But the only thing you're upset about is a 1-6 whip. And you didn't go long enough to get a win. Fine, I get it. But that's a 2 ERA in five innings for like a guy who's having such a terrible down year, right? And really, if you look at the outings one by one, he's not like this. He's not just blowing up on you. He is not doing these things where it's like, oh, he was against the Marlins and he was so terrible or something like that. Yeah, he had a bad first inning against the Yankees and then settled down after that. It was, you know, Robbie Ray is so close where his slider, curve, and change are just not helping him out as much. The slider at times is actually really good and he just doesn't use it enough. Same thing with the changeup. He actually had a 50% CSW in this when we finally threw it later in this game, but he's holding it back. I don't understand. The curve has just completely disappeared, which I don't get because it's been a very effective pitch for him. It's just like Gavin Williams, where I see Robbie Ray going through these struggles and I just want to shake him and go, what are you doing? You know how to fix this. Just don't throw those fastballs as much. Maybe it's because he doesn't have the feel for his secondaries as he used to, but just experiment more with it. Don't just think that you don't have it. Like, you're not going to get it if you don't throw it. And this is the one case of if you don't use it, you lose it. Okay, Robbie Ray? Like, he got to do it. And I think this high walk situation that he has right now is actually very fixable. So yeah, you can just look at the numbers of like, oh, he has a high walk rate, so he's always going to have a high walk rate kind of thing. Or you can sit there and be like, well, Gavin Williams has always had high walks, but he just won 6.1 innings of two walks. And like, wait, that's okay. I'm like, yeah, it is. And it can be the case for Robbie Ray. Okay, that's why I have him as high as I do. Yes, I should probably lower him more from the 30s that I have now. I wanted to group him inside this cherry bomb tier, and that's why I did it as I did. But yeah, guys like Carlos Rodon, fine or better at the moment. Like, Hunter Brown's going to be over him anyway next week. But once you get to, like, those 40s, like, I don't think he should be in that purgatory tier of, like, Gallen and Castillo and Nola. Those are the ones that are going down. I don't have fixes for them. Robbie Ray, I actually truly believe, will go on a heater and is very much worthwhile on your team. So I would be buying low everywhere with him. I have less faith in, say, Tanner Bibee, but I still want to buy low on Tanner Bibee. Okay. Quinn Priester against the Giants. Four innings of 200 runs, four hits, four walks, and three Ks. I have no interest in this. His slider was used more than anything else at 38% usage, and everything else had a 53% strike rate or lower. So, yeah, he's not ready. Nick Lodolo had to sit there and watch Max Meyer dominate. And 5.2 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. Just 1 out of 31 whiffs on the 4-seamer is interesting. The curveball did well against righties, but he didn't face any lefties. And I think that might be part of the problem as to why he wasn't as effective. But Yeah, this wasn't a good location game for Lodolo, and that's disappointing as he really had this opportunity to just soar continuously. But I think it's one of those times where it could have been a lot worse against a really good offense, and we should just be happy that it happened against the Marlins. I think he should recover moving forward. Kider Montero against the Padres just isn't very good. I think he has a really good slider, and then he actually threw inside to right-handers with a sinker, and that's kind of cool, but he just threw too few strikes and his four seamer's terrible. Aaron Nola, speaking of which, 6.1 innings of 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. He had a careful Icarus as he was pulled with 2 men on in the 7th, and both of them scored. Also in the comments, you know, Juan Soto almost made this even worse for him, just barely missed a home run as it went down the line. But Aaron Nola is at 89.8 on his sinkers. Oh my gosh, that's got to be like 92, 93, and he's under 90 on that. It's above 90 for his four-seamer, I guess, but geez, the curve is still really good. The command is generally good. It's just, this is why it's such a small margin for error right now with Aaron Nola, and I can't tell you that velocity is going to come back. It's been down the entire month. Jonathan Cannon against the Red Sox, 6 innings, 4 runs, 6 hits, 4 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Yeah, you don't want to go with Jonathan Cannon. You don't want to do it. Maybe the overture will play soon enough, 18-12 overture, with the moment that Jonathan Cannon has a wonderful game. I can't wait for that. Kevin Gausman, this is interesting. What has he done recently? Well, it was a four-seamer dominating for 2 starts, right? And we're like, we don't really think that's going to stick around. Well, it didn't really. It was a called strike pitch as opposed to that whiff pitch. But he threw 44% CSW sliders without damage. And the splitter actually came back, 8 for 35 whiffs, but a 46% strike rate. So let's review. High CSW sliders, that's good, without damage. Good whiffs on the four-seamer. High called strike rate on the four-seamer. However, splitters had a 46% strike rate. Four-seamers didn't get whiffs. Splitter with 8 whiffs, that's good. And you have 6 innings, 4 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, 6 Ks from Kevin Gausman. This is kind of like the purgatory in last year with him. So I don't know. I think you're just going to keep going with Gausman. But yeah, it's all just kind of like this gobbledygook of not being what made him so good before. And I don't want to deal with it. I'm selling high. Clark Schmidt against the Guardians threw 4 innings of 5 runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 7 strikeouts. He's had 80 pitches, you know, 33% CSW, but he had to deal with a ton of lefties. And I think that's part of the problem, as Schmidt's always been better against righties. He threw a ton of cutters and just threw a lot over the plate. It wasn't as precise as he normally is. Keep in mind, Schmidt, always good at righties, figured out lefties to not be terrible against them. And that doesn't mean that he can only go against lefties and dominate them, right? Which makes sense. Schmidt has always been in that question mark of a gray area. Is it Holly? Is he a Toby? Remember, even in the preseason, should I put him at like 50 with the Hollies, or should I put him at like the 70s with the Tobies? And I think he's in the Toby tier right now, and you shouldn't really hold on tight in your 12-teamers. I don't feel like you need to. You're not going to be missing out on the big thing of the year. 15-teamers, you have to. But 12s, I don't think you do. And Randy Vasquez against the Tigers, 2 innings of 6 runs. Yeah, because it's Randy Vasquez. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this with 1 strikeout? You know this. I did also see a comment yesterday about, during our YouTube live stream of the On the Corner, about how in 12-teamers, let's say you have 8 to 9 starters per team. That's 96 starters rostered, right? Yes and no. One, streamers are outside the top 96 a lot. So you generally want one of those roster spots. Let's just say it's 8 because it generally is 8. It's not like 10. I'm ridiculous and I do 10, but most teams don't do more than that. They either go after relievers or hitters for those best spots instead. Maybe they want 3 relievers, etc. Generally, you're going to see 8. Okay? So then it's really 7 that are like consistently rostered. So 7 times 12 would be 84. No, 86. 84. I got it the first time. And of those 84, there are a lot of times that guys are rostered and held outside of my top 84. A lot of those bigger names like Jose Barrios is still going to be rostered. I mean, just look at rostership on Yahoo free agents. You'll see 40%, all these guys that are not rostered in my leagues, but and so on, they are in yours. So then you have the streaming options on top of that, right? What I'm getting at is really gets down to like my 70 are the ones that are really rostered inside of your leagues. And that's how you can actually get the ones that are inside my top 70 a lot. Because sometimes my top 70 has like Jordan Hicks that is 13% rostered or so. You have Landon Roop, who's still somehow 19% rostered. That's the whole mentality of the list. I just want to address that because I saw that interesting comment. But that's it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.